This is Jim Sperry. It's March 3rd, 2012, Forward Operating Base, Edinburgh, in Helmand Province, Afghanistan. I'm with a gentleman who actually was the pilot that I flew with today. Please tell me your name.
Brandon C.
Brandon, how old are you?
34.
And how long have you been in the Guard?
I've been in the Guard for about 13 years and did a few years active duty, stationed out of Fort Bliss.
I'm curious, do you know where you were 10 years ago, like March of 2002 by any chance?
March of 2002, I was actually just getting into the counter-drug program. I'd only been in the Guard for about a year and just getting in and working out in Deming, helping out the Border Patrol there.
Flying 58s, is that correct?
Actually, I was on the ground side, and I was in a control room monitoring 24 cameras along the border that had day and IR cameras, and was watching as for illegal entry or people smuggling narcotics across the border, and then would guide in agents on the groups or individuals come across.
Are you a native from New Mexico?
Well, I moved to New Mexico when I was two, so I'm pretty much from New Mexico. Yeah, originally from Tennessee, but raised in New Mexico, so a proud New Mexican.
Where'd you grow up in New Mexico?
I grew up in Las Cruces.
Really? What high school did you graduate from?
Graduated from Oñate.
Now, you realize there was no such thing as Oñate High School when I graduated from high school, but that's kind of dating me a little bit there.
Right, yeah, and I went to the old Oñate that they had for a little while, which was actually a middle school that they converted, and then I went to the new high school Oñate for about a year for the new one before I graduated.
Now, today we did a mission, and I can't call it typical because nothing's typical out here. That's the first thing I've learned, but tell me a little bit about the mission that we did today, what we did.
Today we went in to pick up a child that was injured from a blast injury. We knew the weather was bad before we left. It's decent around Edinburgh, but everywhere else was blowing dust. So as we left, we went and picked up the child, and the closer we got to Bash into the hospital to drop the child off, the weather proceeded to grow worse. So we descended low level to main contact with the ground and proceeded into Bastion to drop the child off. After that, coming out, the weather had a little more time to get worse, a little more blowing dust in the air, so we had to continue back up to Edinburgh, low level, which can be a common occurrence here during the windy seasons, flying around at 30 feet and up to 100 feet just to maintain good contrast with the ground, because there's not a whole lot out there when you have blowing dirt with brown sand below you. There's not much contrast to look at.
For the people that don't understand what it's like over here, there's a lot of brown dirt here and not much vegetation on it, and just a little bit of wind kicks this talcum powder-like dirt up, and all of a sudden you can't see very far.
Right, and this is the same thing we're doing our dust landings too. It's some of these places where vehicles drive on quite often can be up to a foot of that talcum powder, and you start browning out at upwards of 50 feet before you land, and we get kind of a dust bowl effect here with the mountains. So once this dust gets kicked up in the air, it can take a couple of days for it to settle.
So you and I both grew up in Las Cruces, and we know the windy season down there, but when it's windy down there and it gets dusty in the air, it's nothing like it is here. It doesn't even have to be so windy, but the sky is so ugly here, and it was that way on this flight today.
Correct, yeah. In Cruces, you get winds up to 35, 40 miles an hour, and it gets dusty, but here you get winds up to 10 to 15 miles an hour, and it browns everything out, and it looks like you a sandstorm from that movie, The Mummy.
Well, I got to confess that on the flight back, it was about the best flight I ever had, because I could see everything finally from low level, and it was really, really a kick the way we were flying there, but I knew it was not the easiest thing to accomplish. You must like flying.
I enjoyed a lot, always have. That was one of the ways I got into flight school, was just mentioned to the general at an award ceremony that I was at, that I was interested in aviation, and he recommended I go to flight school. And then from then on, it's just been a passion.
Have you deployed overseas before, or is this your first deployment?
This is my first deployment. Volunteered for this one. If I wouldn't have volunteered, I could have done my whole career without ever deploying.
Let's talk about that. Let's talk about this particular deployment. This is a very unique mission where the Army supports the Marine Corps. They're kind of your customer. But lately, at least for the past week, there's been a lot of Afghan National Army folks and some Afghan civilians. Tell me and all the folks listening a little bit about this particular mission here at FOB Eddy and what goes on and the kind of things that you've flown missions on.
Vast majority. That's the thing here at Eddy. You get anything from a kid falling off a tractor to a Marine that's unfortunately stepped on an IED, and all varying weather. I've gone inadvertent into clouds. I'm here before. Had to do a low-level back in, and it's not like when we get bad weather or we go inadvertent, we can just give up and cancel the mission. We have to recover and then go back out, because if not, somebody's going to die. Because if we go out in bad weather, it's because we have to for life or death reasons. And then the missions here, going out and helping out the ANA and the locals, we get that quite a bit also. And that's, like I said, anything from a child being burned from milk. We've seen that quite a bit. All the way up to ANA soldiers also driving over, stepping on IEDs.
A lot of people within your unit and have told me, they've used this phrase, Eddie's where the war's at. That's fair to say, isn't it?
It is. This is by far the most busy place, and also one of the highest threat areas in regards to not just the ground troops, but also all aviation assets as well.
Looking back on it, we all know everybody's in their fourth quarter, we'll call it, and soon you guys will be home after a long time being over here. Are you glad that you got to do this deployment at this time in your career at your age?
I am. My children are a little bit older, so they understand why I'm here. Really glad I got to do this. It's been a self-gratifying mission. It's one of these missions we go out and we risk it, and we're able to pull these young Marines off the battlefield and try to make somebody's absolute worst day of their lives in some cases, and try to make something good come out of it. Try to make it better for them and their loved ones at home.
The thing that I've noticed, having flown with you a few times now, and as well as the other crews, is it's not just one pilot flying. There's two, but it's not just the two pilots flying. Tell me a little bit about this group of four that are in a typical Black Hawk medevac helicopter.
We've got the two pilots up front. We've got a medic and a crew chief, and together we make a solid team. To ensure that, we do a briefing beforehand to get everybody on the same sheet of music. Everybody's been flying here for a while now, so we look over each other's backs, we help each other out, we offer assistance any way that we can, whether it's on the ground helping clean up the back of the bird after a call, or with the crew chiefs and medics keeping us advised at all obstacles and hazards that are around us as we're coming in and around these POIs.
I want to go back again 10 years ago, because the name of this particular journey that I'm on is called 10 Years Later. Did you ever think 10 years ago that you would be in Afghanistan 10 years later doing medevac missions?
No, not at all. Like I said, I was still on the ground side, working on the border there, and was in a non-deployable unit that I was working in, so never fathomed that I'd be over here doing this.
This is a hypothetical question. Do you think medevac missions will still be being flown 10 years from now here?
Yes, but most likely it's going to be civilian contract work, or it'll be the Afghanis themselves doing the missions. And I see them being a lot less frequent.
What's the one thing that you will take back with you from this experience, this particular deployment that you'll implement in the jobs that you have ahead of you and as well as the rest of your life?
It's probably going to be the attention to detail, because here anything that you overlook can get somebody hurt, and bringing that professionalism and attention to detail back home is something that I'm going to try to instill and show the importance to some of the junior soldiers, the guys still coming in, and just stress how any little thing that you overlook in aviation can get somebody hurt.
Okay, now we talked earlier a couple days ago, and will you continue in the Guard, or tell me a little bit about how the job situation is playing out after this deployment for you?
When I go back, I'll be a federal technician, still be in the Guard. I'll be an instructor pilot still for the 58 until we get the Lakota, and then I'll do that transition into the UH-72. Might not be on the border doing that mission, might be mainly now for unit training, but I will have a good employment and will be able to continue on with the New Mexico Guard.
Where do you live now?
I'm still in Las Cruces.
Okay. So when you go home, what's the first thing you're going to want to do? What do you look forward to the most?
I can't wait to get back and spend some time with the wife and kids. And
Tell me your wife's name and your children's name.
It's Sherry, and I have a daughter, Kayla, and my son, Austin. Daughter's 14, my son is 12, and just can't wait to get back and just hang out with them on the couch and like we used to, and watch a little TV or just go out in the Jeep. We'll do that when it's raining. We'll go out and just spend some time together out in the desert. Yeah, just can't wait to get back with them and see them and see their faces and hug them and just have them around me all the time.
Now, if I remember, in Las Cruces, there's a couple of good Mexican restaurants. You like Mexican food?
Love Mexican food.
Do you like Napolito's restaurant or La Posta?
Both of those places are really good. Green chicken enchiladas is my favorite.
Well, maybe we could get those guys to come to the table on this one. What do you think?
That would be amazing.
Listen, I appreciate you speaking with me here tonight. And that was a really remarkable flight home. It was the best flight I've had in a long time, but I know you were working hard up front.
I was just trying to keep the crew safe. Like I said, it's a team effort. We were all working hard through there to make sure we're avoiding all the hazards. And, you know, you're flying low level, you avoid the hazard of the weather, but then you're a little bit closer to bad guy territory. So it's always a trade-off.
One last question. One piece of advice to the incoming folks that will be doing your same job, what would you say to the next Brandon that will be flying this mission when you leave?
I would say always be careful on the controls when with the pilot that you're flying with, as far as doing these dust landings. The enemy threats that is out there, but the number one thing that we've had as far as banging up aircraft has been the dust landings. And then also, and another one that I've seen has kind of bit us is just confirm the injuries on patients. See if it's, in layman's terms, ask them, hey, how is this guy doing? Is he going to make it? Do we need to come in right now and pick him up? And for U.S. Marines, we'll do that regardless of the threat. We will go in right then and there to pick them up, because sometimes you'll get stable or unstable, but that's really vague. So just in layman's terms, get exactly how that guy's doing.
Warrant Officer Brandon C., correct?
Correct.
Thank you very much for taking time to speak with me, and thanks again for flying me around Helmand Province today.
Thank you very much, and thank you for sharing the story. Appreciate the things that you've done for the military. I know you had quite a history of helping us out, and we do appreciate that.
Thanks a lot. This is Jim Speary. It's March 3rd, 2012, Forward Operating Base, Edinburgh, in Helmand Province, Afghanistan.